Good fucking morning, good day, or good night. Quick intro. Long story short, I'm going to be super busy for the next few weeks, and I really need to like focus on some detrimental stuff that is really important for our plans next year. So I just need focus, and of course we have Christmas as well, so it's pretty hectic. So I won't be releasing any episodes over Christmas and New Year's, but stay tuned by just watching my Instagram handle for GTFU podcast _ I think. Another thing is today's episode is all about Josh Mazamisi, his perspective, and just like an honest chat and ramble about life, and I promise you will learn something. Yeah, it's pretty cool. He's good for talking, so it was great. It was a great experience, yeah. So I'm really happy that happened, and yeah, enjoy. Let's get into it. Good morning, Joshua.
Good morning, Shubbles. What's so funny?
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Start with hometown. Hobbies.
Just a little bit or a lot?
No, you can go for it. Anything you want.
I was born in Toowoomba, surprisingly. Yeah. So, not from your traditional Stanthorpe hospital, but yeah, born in Toowoomba, but raised in Stanthorpe, obviously, right through till, well, my whole life there until 18 when I left school, and then moved up to Brisbane. So, which is the usual transition for any Stanthorpian. But, yeah, I had a pretty normal childhood, really. And family, all in Stanthorpe, played sport, went to school at Joey's, and did all that cool stuff, I guess. So, that's a little bit out of me, I guess.
Just gave your whole life away.
Hey?
Just gave your whole life away.
Exactly.
Risking.
Well, actually, did you want to litter a lot? So.
Okay, what are your hobbies?
My hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the clear one's sport. I'll watch anything and everything. Like, I was up to 1 a.m. the other night watching the F1 and different things like that. So, sport's huge. I love music. Live music in particular. That's actually...
He loves singing songs around the house, absolutely pelting the fucking words out. See, he's not a good singer.
I'm not a good singer, but what I will say is I know a lot of people, a lot of successful people at least, believe that singing, even though I'm not that great, but singing, you know, it releases a lot of good stuff in your body. And it can put you in a really good mood. It actually set you up for the day. I know Conor McGregor, for example, every morning when he wakes up, he'll go for a run, and then while he's cooking breakfast, he'll sing 2 or 3 songs. So that's not even a joke. I know that that's what he does. Yeah, that's a fact. So I love singing.
What the fuck?
But I love live music. I don't know. It's just something about music in general, but live music in particular. Like, that's a massive hobby. Like. We've been to gigs just around Brisbane and whatnot, and even though they're small bands and artists and whatnot, they're actually, you know, you leave there feeling really good about yourself. So even though it's not just for you, you know, you can't be too selfish, but yeah, I know, I love music, love sport, just love having a good time, really. Love new experiences. That's probably another hobby, is just buying the bullet and you know, doing things you never tried before, because, you know, usually you come away with a good story.
Right. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Okay, we're going to go tough questions. They're not tough, but they're just... Okay, what is your craziest story ever or most memorable story ever?
What won't put me in jail? No, it's a joke. I don't know. I reckon craziest story or most memorable. I don't know. I think there's a difference. I'll go probably craziest story first, which literally happened on the weekend. We went to the cricket on Friday, and this is actually just what springs to mind, probably because it happened literally on the weekend. But we went to the cricket on Friday. to the test match. Was there all day, come home, and then we went out with some friends.
Oh, I know.
We went out to the valley, as you do, and had a bit of a dance and whatnot. And then we walked out of the valley at probably about 3 a.m. And I looked at a mate, and we just said, "Do you want to go to the beach?" So we jumped in. We got home. There was no drink driving involved because the driver wasn't drinking. Jumped in the ute and we headed down to the beach. We got to the beach at roughly, by the time we got there, it was probably about 4:30, quarter to five by the time we left Brisbane. So we left Brisbane about 3:30, about an hour down there, so 4:30. And which is coincidentally when
in the AM, which is coincidentally when
the sun rises. It was at 4:44 when the sun was rising on the Gold Coast. So we landed at the Gold Coast, went straight to Burley, watched the sunrise, and then just kind of tried to survive the rest of the day. which we managed to do, which was a lot of fun. And it's actually quite funny because it's really weird because you know what you've just done. Like, even though you've just, like, what I'm trying to say is you get to Burley and everyone's on their morning runs with their dog. Yeah. And here we are just, like, half awake, you know, with coffees in our hand trying to live. So it's a weird experience. But that's probably one of the craziest stories. And then we ended up coming back to Brisbane, had to go out for a mate's birthday that night. So it was pretty full on, but
what did you even do the whole day?
Well, we just did what we would normally do when we go to the beach. We watched the sunrise, you know, went for a swim, went and grabbed some lunch, went for a bit of a walk and stuff. Usually we catch up with some friends, but we didn't do that this time. But yeah, it was just a typical day at the beach, I suppose. And yeah, so that was probably one of the craziest. A lot of the other stories evolve around not going to sleep, really. Probably most memorable. It's a really good question.
What's your favourite memory?
In life in general?
Yeah.
Favourite memory. See, it's hard when you put people on the spot, you know what I mean? Yeah, and I'm just trying to... I'm just trying to decipher with...
Do you want me to narrow it down?
Yeah, okay. Well, give me some categories or something.
Okay. Most memorable...
It'll come to me as we go on. I guess
your favourite memory... growing up.
Favorite memory growing up. It would probably be, I always think about it a lot. It's probably just literally in the backyard, just playing with dad or your sister or friends. Yeah. That's honestly probably the best memory growing up. It's just, you know, the sun setting and just having a mad time. Probably growing up, that's probably my favorite memory.
Yeah. What about your most favorite memory in the last 2 years of living in Brisbane?
Last 2 years living in Brisbane. I don't know. I think obviously had some like pretty cool experiences up here, which, you know, you don't get anywhere else. Bit like we went to, you know, the AFL Grand Final, which has never been out of Melbourne. And, you know, lucky enough to snag a ticket to that. And that
when was that?
That was last year.
Oh, okay.
So that was pretty cool. Favourite memory? I don't know. There's so many. Like, that's a tough thing. Like,
okay. What is your favourite memory of me? Josh and I have only met, like, we only know each other for a year or something because we met through Liam, which is my boyfriend. And he lives in the share house with Liam. So,
favorite memory of you? I've got to give you an answer.
If you don't have one, that's
my, look, bad. Honestly, my favorite memory of you is when you gave that awkward hug to everyone when you left.
Oh my god!
The camping trip.
to everyone.
Yeah,
it was everyone.
Favorite. Shovels.
You better tell that.
Actually, you know what? Favorite memory of you was honestly just being on the out on the back deck and just you just having a great time, really. I think probably when we had that, when we, the hottest 100 countdown.
Yeah, that was, you were dressed in your fresh
casino your casino outfit, and you were just, you know, on another level to everyone else. And it was great. You brought
another level? Yeah. What do you mean?
Oh,
well, I don't remember it, so I guess I understand what you mean.
Usually in the countdown, you know, from numbers 100 to, let's go, 40, everyone's quite tame and just warming into things. Whereas you at, like, song 80, you were, you know, having a dance or whatnot. So that's probably my favourite memory, to be fair, of you, was in that. And I think what made it was the casino shirt you were wearing. So, yeah.
The casino shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's cute. What are your top three values in life?
Top three values are respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the first one. I think respect's huge because it's you. I think a lot of people don't get the respect they deserve, and what I mean by that is, you not from achievements and whatnot, but a lot of people in life will just talk down someone or a topic or whatnot purely because it's, you know, their values and beliefs, which is fair. But at the end of the day, no one actually really knows what anyone's going through. And I think if you respect everyone for who they are and where they've come from and where they're going, yeah. I think you would find that your perception would change about a lot of things. But I think just in general, just respect, like, you know, just think of small interactions you have, you know, down at, you know, your supermarket, you know, where you're not nice to people, but you just respect people in the fact that, you know, you might let them get in, like, you might be going to a line and you let them in front of you type stuff or whatnot, just different things like that. I think, you know, probably respect's probably the number one thing. I think humility, and I actually have a really good quote around that, and I'll try find it. But humility is not really brought up much. The quote is, humility, it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
Yeah,
and I think it sort of comes back, links back to respect, and also links back, but
like selflessness.
Yeah, selflessness, 100%. And you know, I try. I guess we it's not something we're consistently trying to do.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, the world would be a better place if it was around, and it is. But you know, it's not talked about and whatnot. So,
not to the capacity of what it could be, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, and again, it's the same thing, putting people before yourself. Like, if everyone just played their role and did their part, the world would be a much better place. But that's not the case, and that's not human nature sometimes. But respect and humility is probably the top two. And then the third value, I guess you could say, would probably be just honesty. You know, there's a saying, who do you trust more, a liar or a thief? And it's a thief, because you'll never get to the bottom of a liar. You know, so it's, you know what I mean? And I reckon respect, humility and honesty. And there's nothing, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, if you look at your life, a lot of problems would have been solved with just an honest conversation.
Mm-hmm. But that is so fucking true, actually.
You know?
Literally.
But it never happens. And it doesn't happen sometimes because the person doesn't think you want to have an honest conversation, or sometimes because they just genuinely can't have one. But I think honesty, like, it takes a lot of guts and it takes, you know, a lot of courage. But, yeah, honesty is another probably big value of mine. So respect, humility, and honesty.
Good answers. I feel like you're, like, commentating right now. Josh is also really good at commentating anything to do with sports. You can literally commentate, like, two kids playing in a sandpit.
I wouldn't call that commentating, though. And I don't think I'd ever commentate two kids in a sandpit because...
That sounds so bad.
Because where I'd end up, you know?
I know, but I'm just saying that's your capability.
Thank you.
Okay, what would you say would be your favourite things to do in your spare time?
Favourite things to do in my spare time? See, spare time's a funny concept.
Okay, we'll start with what you do.
What I do is for a living.
Yeah.
For a dime. So I work for a podcasting network, which is probably the best way to put it. And the crux of it is they have heaps of podcasts, and I work on a team there, which is, you know, you can be associated with digital marketing, but that's probably a fancy term for it. So that's what I do for a dime. Mm-hmm. But I think to your question, spare time. Like, what to you is spare time?
Like, what do you like to do when you're, like, I know that you like your own time.
Mm.
You like to be alone sometimes, and you love it when no one's here.
Yeah.
What do you like to do when you're not, I guess, like, working or with your friends?
Ah.
Let's go away from friends, okay. Like, hanging out with,
so I was going to say, Tommy, like, spare time. Like, time is the most valuable commodity we have. So, yeah. Like, I was going to say, you know, spending the time with, because it's not where you are, it's who you're with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about on your own, being on, like, spare time within...
No, let's just generalise it.
Okay, generalise it, spending time with the people you care about and love.
Yeah.
That is it. Like, that's what I love to do. Whether it's, you know, at home, it's, you know, out for dinner or whatever, mm-hmm. that's probably what I love to do the most. That's what I think, you know, you get a lot from it because, you know, at the end of the day, when, you know, you're 80 and old and talking about, you know, times together, you look back on those times, you look back on those spontaneous things you did together.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's not, you know, where you were, it's who you were with, you know what I mean? That's what you remember most. So, that's the best way to spend my spare time. But to your point about being on my own with the spare time type stuff, it's to explain myself in a sense, it's actually quite, you get to learn a lot about yourself, if that makes sense, because you know, we get so caught up in life in general, you know, working, you know, going out, having fun, trying to sort our own personal stuff out and different things like that. Yeah. And I think we never give ourselves time to think and even get to know ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what really fucking annoys me, because I'll be like going throughout the day trying to like think of, like, I'm going in between like work and then driving home or something, and I still can't think of anything. But as soon as I get into bed, I'm like,
yeah,
everything literally comes to mind, and then I'm trying to get to sleep, so I can't actually focus on anything that I'm thinking of.
Exactly.
It's fucked.
And if we don't know ourselves, how can we be the best version of ourselves?
Mm.
Like that. So that's why
stop I, moving.
That's why I enjoy. That's why I enjoy, you know, spending time with yourself, because you learn so much, and you can get so far with it. I believe. And and I think, do we ever really have spare time though?
I guess not.
Do you know what I mean?
I guess time isn't actually at our, like,
I think it's quite, I think it's quite arrogant to call it spare time.
Yeah.
I think it's very arrogant.
That's a good point.
Like, not saying your question's bad.
No. Yeah, no.
It's but just like, a term
time
to use.
Is like precious.
Yeah. So why time is so precious, but
so I guess spare time as a saying is sort of like a,
it is a
throwaway, like
a throwaway line,
casual thing that sort of has
a cliche in a sense
set in place to be, just be like, oh, well, I'm gonna go fucking sit in my room and do nothing. Because
but think about how much time we do waste too.
I know.
Wow. Actually,
TikTok is so bad. If anyone else scrolls on TikTok for 3 hours at a time,
we
could be friends.
We waste time. We waste so much time. And a lot of it is on social media.
Mm-hmm.
On social media, I was reading up the other day and I saw this fella. He said something. He basically said, no wonder our brains are so bruised and fatigued because of all the social media we've been copying over the last 2 years, which is so true. Yeah. Like, I've never honestly, over the past 2 years, it's obviously been a draining experience with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
But it hasn't helped that, you know, everyone's just, like, so in social media and stuff, I think is a great thing, but a lot of people just, like, we've just resorted to it almost. And, like, you think about when you're in lockdown and stuff, you don't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
And
imagine if we didn't have social media. Like, imagine if, like, all networks just, like, dropped.
Yeah.
Like Facebook. Facebook, like the metaverse, is that what it's called?
The metaverse,
now?
Yeah.
Now Instagram would drop. What else is in the metaverse?
I don't know. I think whatever Facebook owns, to be fair.
And Instagram and TikTok, like the biggest things ever now.
You know,
Instagram is slowly depleting.
You know, it's also interesting.
What?
Let's say Facebook opened up like Coles or a shop from 9 to 5.
But how would they do that?
Let's just say you couldn't access the app before 9 and after 5.
Oh my God.
How would
that? They should do that.
How would it look then? How would the world look then?
That is a... Why do you think about this?
I didn't look. I'm not going to take ownership of that. I didn't come up with that. But I read somewhere that they were discussing that matter is if it's... if Facebook was to just open like a shop from 9 to 5, how would the world look
or
like?
Or they just like, or you like? Weren't be out, or you wouldn't be able to access
you
it.
You can't access it before 9.
Like and on after Facebook. 5.
You can't. You can like go on the
social
app.
Social media.
But, yeah, you can't. You can go on. But imagine if you couldn't do it. You can't see anything.
But imagine if you couldn't go. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can click on that, but it's like
just 9 blank. To 5. Like if you clicked on there at 8:30, it'd be like opening in half an hour.
I feel like no one would go to work. Like do their jobs. They would just be scrolling on Facebook all afternoon.
You know, yeah, that's a crazy concept.
Have you ever deleted social media?
I've never deleted it. I would say I got social media a lot later than most. So yeah. A lot of people I feel had Snapchat Kick was probably the first app for all of us.
Oh my
but,
God, yes.
I didn't really get it till about year 9, to be fair.
Okay.
But I've never deleted social media because like I find it can be very valuable. Like you can like YouTube, you can go and learn anything in a minute on YouTube. But I've never deleted it. But what I have done is I have switched it off and closed it off for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I'm not talking days, but I'm talking, you know, weeks.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I mean. Like I've never deleted. Like, have you ever like just deleted the app and not actually your own profile and stuff?
Yeah.
Just
no,
to keep it off.
I didn't have it deleted off my phone, but I just didn't look at it for weeks on end.
Yeah, I had to delete it. There was one time, I think in year 11, I think, I deleted it for like 2 weeks, like everything, because I couldn't like, I don't know why, I can't remember why.
How'd you feel? You know what? How'd you feel for the first like 5 days? Do you feel like you were craving something?
For it, yeah. I felt like, oh my God, I'm so bored.
How'd you feel like the last three? Did you feel better?
I was like, oh, I don't have Facebook. Oh, maybe I'll just get it back now because I don't
you feel like you
care.
Can control it then.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'll just get it back now.
See, that's the thing though. It's like the same with any addiction.
Yeah.
The hardest, well, I've never really been addicted to anything, so I can't really comment, but I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And from what I know, the hardest part is the initial steps and the initial process. That's the biggest challenge.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing with like exercising and food and stuff like that. Like whenever I did my challenges and stuff, like 6 weeks or 12 week challenges, by the time 7 weeks came around, I'd be like, oh, I'm in control. Like I can, I'll just have like a shit ton of Maccas or something, or just not go to the gym because I'll reward myself. But then the challenge would eventually, like from 7 weeks, I'd literally do nothing.
Yeah.
And then I just do it like once a week and then it wouldn't be consistent.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually count.
Yeah.
So you just get, as soon as you like have that control, you're like, yeah, I can do it. I can reward myself. And then you do it, then you like reward yourself and you're like, oh, oops,
well,
here we
right.
go again.
That actually comes back to like self-discipline, I suppose.
Yeah.
A story on that, if you're interested.
Mm-hmm.
It's rugby league from the rugby league world.
Oh.
But... So, I don't know. So, back in the day, there was two halves playing for Queensland, two halves playing for New South Wales. The halves for New South Wales were Andrew Johns and Brad Fittler at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they, Freddie or Brad Fittler, he was so, like, in tune with himself and his game. So, for example, he wouldn't, like, the team would get, they'd have their team dinner and he wouldn't eat any ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, he's like, I haven't earned it. I haven't deserved it. Like, I'm not deserved. Like, the boys would go out for a night out on the town.
Yeah.
And he would stay at home. And they'd be like, what? He's like, I haven't earned it. Like, I haven't deserved it. I'm not going to reward myself yet.
Yeah.
And then he would also, it would get to the extreme where he would wake up his teammates and stuff at like 5 a.m. And they'd go down to the, you know, ice baths and stuff and go swimming or go for a run on stuff before the session start, before our training start, before anything started. And he was always saying, I bet you the Queensland Haas aren't doing this. And it's like, it's come back to that mental thing, like getting that edge on your opponent, I guess, is what he was looking for. But it's also like that self-discipline.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to sit there and go, you know, think about like your job. You sit there and go, oh, so I'm working these hours today. Oh, but I can't do anything else for the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that's their job. Their job's to go to training. But he was so in tune with himself and wanted to be the best he possibly could. He was waking up early, staying late, training, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I guess it all comes back to that self-discipline. And you can relate it back to social media. Like, yeah, it's easy to, you know, say I'm going to do this and say I'm going to do that. But when push comes to shove, do you have the discipline to hold?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's usually no, then yes. Like, you can't.
Yeah. That's why it's so hard. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah. But I guess, like, that's also the balance that you need to take as well and be aware of. Because you can, like, have a bad day or whatever and be like, yeah, I don't want to do it. But you have to come back.
You're right.
And keep doing it. Otherwise,
and you know what this all links back to? Knowing yourself.
Yeah.
How do you know yourself? Spend time with yourself. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really, it is a big cycle.
Yeah. 100%. You have to do a lot of reflection in order to...
Yeah.
Really get where you are. Well, I feel like no one really does that. Like, they do. But to the point where you know, like...
But are people scared?
Doing it?
Are we scared to reflect?
I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, fair enough. Potentially, because when you reflect, you're looking at some of your biggest mistakes.
Yeah, but I guess if you're scared of that, then you haven't done enough.
True.
And I think that's where the difference lies, I guess. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Because if you're really, like, overcritical of yourself, that means you're always, like, thinking... Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you're always... Over. You know how we were talking last night and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm just... Like, I'm...
Yeah.
With this futsal stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, fucking shit. Like,
yeah.
I hate futsal.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you're too hard on yourself. But, like, I know...
Well, Don't Be So Hard On Yourself, sung by Jess Glyne, will explain that to you. What I will say is... It's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. Like, you would have come, like, you think about anything you've ever done, you think you would have done great, but you would have downplayed it.
Yeah.
And then everyone else has to tell you how well you did.
Yeah, modesty is.
Yeah. But I know what you mean with being so hard on yourself, but I guess that's, you got to know at what point are you being too hard on yourself.
Mm.
And that comes back to knowing yourself.
Yeah.
Like, knowing what your limits are, knowing how far you can push yourself. And what is too far and what is too much?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Do we want to move on to the next question? Yeah. That was a whirlwind. What has been your greatest lesson so far?
Greatest lesson is never take anything for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do it. I probably still haven't learned the lesson, but I feel like a massive lesson I will learn and I am learning is living in the moment and being in the present.
Okay.
That's all we've got.
Yeah.
Like, those are two huge lessons. I mean, you learn other lessons about, you know, hard work and sacrifice and different things like that. And, you know, you learn your maths timetable. That's a lesson.
Okay.
But I think the biggest lessons I've learned is those two in particular.
Okay.
Purely because I guess you get that from life experience.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Those are, you know, the two big lessons you learn. And I guess it's up to you what you do with those lessons. But, yeah, they're big lessons. And, you know, some people will be able to resonate with that. Some won't. But, like, you know, the whole thing, there's only two... another saying. there's only 2 days on earth where nothing can be done. That's tomorrow and yesterday.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That is gold.
There's only 2 days on earth where nothing can be done. That's tomorrow and yesterday.
Where did you find
that? I honestly couldn't tell you. I didn't think of it, that's for sure. But
didn't you?
And it just again drums home the fact that the, you know, today, the present, the moment we're living in, that's all we got.
Mm.
Like, that's all we literally have. And why we get so caught up in trying to control things we can't control. But you know, unfortunately, that's just the way the human brain is. And obviously we worry and we get stressed. And like, at the end of the day, there's a whole theory, which I kind of believe in, about, you know, gratitude and practicing gratefulness and practicing gratitude rather. And if you don't put stress in your life, the universe will, which I 100% believe in that. But yeah, I think it's important to stay balanced.
Yeah.
And you can never be too high and never be too low. You know, the universe will swing out for you. But I think that, yeah, it's, you know, staying in the moment, living in the present and making the most of now.
Yeah. I guess that's a good point. What would you say your life purpose is? Do you know that? Do you have, like, a feeling? Because I guess for me, like, to give you an example or give you, like, a head start sort of thing.
Yeah.
To get you rolling. I always wanted to...
Hey, before we continue.
Yeah.
What do you think your biggest life lesson is?
My biggest life lesson? Shit. I don't know. Knowing, getting to know your boundaries and limitations.
In any specific domain or just in general?
Probably in general, because it's been a lot of things that I've been like,
yeah,
look back on and been like, why did I fucking do that? Like, yeah, why did I bother?
Yeah.
Keep going, because it just like was, it didn't benefit me in the end of it.
Yeah.
Or the start, if you know what I mean? Like, just, and then self, like being self-aware, which I'm still like not very self-aware at all, but I try to be aware of,
yeah,
if I'm being self-aware or not, if you know what I mean? Like, it's,
it takes an effort.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very big effort. And I think that knowing your boundaries and limitations will definitely help you now and in the future.
Yep.
And it can be with just fucking going to bed at 8:30 instead of 10. Yeah. Like, or it can be like for futsal, I guess, like knowing, like that second game that we played, I was like, why am I even on this fucking field right now?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't care about this. Whatever. I literally don't care. And I was just walking around. And I was like, oh, there's a ball. Oh, whoops, I missed it. And I was like, does anyone else actually want to play? Because I don't.
Mm.
And then I went off at second half and didn't go back on. Like, just things like that where I'm like... Yeah. But I think the bigger picture, I guess, with limitations is knowing how far you can push yourself.
Yeah.
And career-related, I guess, purpose would be like... I guess with this podcast, like, how far can I go with this podcast? Like, if I actually tried, which I...
Put your effort in.
I'm not really, to be honest, because I feel like I don't have time, but yeah, I do. Like, I could actually put it, like, get somewhere with it, but at the moment, I, like, don't feel like it.
I've got to say, while I'm here and all, well done. Like...
Thanks.
Taking the leap. Like, think about how many people and how many things you know, within yourself you've wanted to do and thought about doing, but you've never done it because... You made an excuse for it.
Yeah.
You know, you made an excuse to do it. Like, well done. And, you know, like I said, you know, by putting yourself out there, you're opening yourself up to criticism,
mm-hmm,
which is the way, you know, it is. And that's good. You know, you can probably learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
But, you know, awesome job on, you know, putting this all together. And it takes a lot of guts, takes a lot of effort, but, yeah, top stuff.
Thanks.
You know. Yeah. So what was your question? Sorry, what before I interrupted there?
Oh, what do you think your purpose is?
Purpose.
Like, what do you feel is your purpose in life?
Is purpose one of those things you find at the end? Like, you've always had it.
Well, that's what the movies say.
Hear me out. You've always had it, right? Mm-hmm. But then you get to nearing the end and you go, wow, that's what I was here for. And it just all makes sense then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or is purpose something you find along the way and that's what you carry with you? Like, I know of people who say they have found their purpose at a young age and whatnot.
Yeah.
I
think you have to sort of believe that it's your purpose. Like, I don't think it actually comes like at a natural point, but it does in some respect, but then you have to start believing that it's your purpose. Otherwise it's just not.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I think probably my purpose. I can't really say I've found it, to be fair. I feel like I'm on the right track, if that makes sense. But I can't honestly say, yes, I have found my purpose in life and I'm comfortable with what it is, because I'm not. So, and I don't know it fully yet. I think that in generalistic terms, I would say, and this is going to sound really corny and cheesy, right? But I think it, my purpose, or somewhat of the purpose, is to, you know, be the change, or be the change you wish was there, wish you could see. I mean, the right terminology for that is be the leader you wish you had, or be the leader you wish there was, but be the change you wish there is, be the change you wish there was, type stuff. And you know, if you can, I feel like if you can impact people's lives in a positive light, then I think everyone's sort of somewhat fulfilling part of their purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's a funny one. I mean, I think a lot of people, when they think of purpose, they immediately go to like career and how can I benefit this world in my career.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff, which is fair enough. But I think it can be a lot deeper than that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think you found your purpose?
No.
Well,
no. But I think I've always been someone, like, this is, like, podcasting is not my purpose. I don't, like...
Believe.
But giving advice and being someone who can, you know, like, be a shoulder to cry on or whatever. Not that many people do, but when I was younger, when I was, like, 15, people would be coming to me for advice, like, left, right, fucking out of my fucking asshole. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I would be like, what the fuck? Like, and it was usually, like, either about fucking relationships or depression and, you know, mental health and stuff. And I would just be like, just fucking, I don't even remember what I used to say, but...
Yeah.
Like, I guess I had a different sort of... I had a different youth to what most people had.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And that sort of gave me an advantage of, you know, like, reflection and knowing stuff.
Yeah.
And growing up very young sort
of thing.
See,
you can learn a lot from that, because there's a... a saying.
There's
these two children, and it's a bit of a tale. It's not really a tale, but there's these two children, and their parents are both alcoholics. I'm sure people have heard of this. The parents are both alcoholics. One became an alcoholic and one didn't. And a man asked both of them, you know, why did you choose this life? And he said, they both answered, because my parents were alcoholics.
Mm.
You know, and one learnt quite literally and took it on and ended up being one.
Yeah.
One learnt from their mistakes and their lessons and didn't. And to your point, if people are coming to you asking for advice and asking for help, that's a massive compliment, because they see something in you that can help them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But also what benefits you is that you're learning like lessons, you're hearing their stories, you're learning so much from them.
Yeah.
Even though you are helping them,
or
from what they believe you are, you are getting so much from it.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. I think another interesting thing I just thought of type stuff now is, think about growing up through high school, for example, and the trials and tribulations you go through. Who do you really turn to? It's your mates.
Yeah.
And your friends. But everyone's around that same age. And in reality, everyone's sort of experiencing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
They aren't, but they are.
Yeah.
So it's funny that, like, maybe it'd be better to go it alone, you know, at that age, because there's people that have the same life experience, or somewhat to an extent, as you.
Yeah.
You know, but as you get older, you meet more people, your company becomes more diverse, you know, and you have a different perspective on life and things. You know, you look back at, I do. I look back at myself in high school or even 2 years ago, and I just shake my head. You know, who are you? What were you thinking, type stuff?
Yeah.
But I'm sure in 2 years' time, I'll look back on me now at the end of 2021 on the 14th of December.
Yeah.
And I'll go, who were you? What were you doing? What were you thinking? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what hindsight.
We're always evolving, sort of thing.
That it comes back to hindsight type stuff. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't know. I think that's cool that if people ever come to you for, you know, advice or something, they think they can gain something from you. And and it's not a bad thing, like they're not using you, and it's the ultimate compliment, you know. So
I've never really thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, you might disagree though, but that's the way I sort of see things.
Yeah, I don't know, I've never really thought about it. I've always just been like, I guess when people came to me and asked questions, I'd be like, well, there's your fucking problem. Like,
yeah,
you're thinking about it. Like,
it's also funny how you, like, if I come to you with a problem, you'll give me A, B, and C, but I can't see that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so blinded by the whole scenario and situation. I've filled my mind with so many different potential things that can play out.
Yeah.
Whereas you just come in with a fresh mind, a blank mind, and going, oh, A, B, and C. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is always, and that comes back to being, you know, like having, not humility, I guess, but having, you know, the ability to understand that you're not going to have all the answers all the time. And there's other people out there with a lot more experience, a lot more knowledge, and it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to lean on them. It's okay to seek that.
Mm. Yeah, and that's a massive thing people don't do and are too scared to do. Like, even I'm too scared to do it still.
Oh, we all are.
But, yeah, I don't know. I was going to say something, I can't remember.
It's all right.
Oh, damn it. Okay, you can ask me a question while I think of it because I...
Do you want me to ask you a question?
Yeah. Or is there something you want to know from a girl's perspective? A female.
Something I want to know from a female's perspective.
Yeah, we always talk about shit like this all the time.
That's a good question. Why do they keep rejecting me? No, I'm joking. that's a good question.
That is a good question.
I'm only joking. From a female's perspective, what is it that you see in, you know, and I could get, you know, I make sure I word this right, but what is it that you see in,
are you going to say in Liam?
No, no, just in like, not makeup, I don't know what the right terminology is, but you spend so much money on, and I guess you could link it, well, why do you spend so much money on X and Y? But, you know, there's a lot of emphasis and focus on looking good for other people.
Yeah.
And when I buy a dress, oh, I really like it, but will everyone else like it? Or is this really my color? Will it look good with other? Will it look good in the photos? But why will it look good in the photos? Because other people will see the photos. Will they like it? So why is there so much emphasis on? And I mean, males. I'm not saying males aren't, you know, accept to it. But why is there so much emphasis on females? You know, looking good. For and it's not looking good for themselves. Like, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's, why is there so much emphasis on looking good for other people?
Good question. I don't really know the answer to that. I'm not going to lie. I think that people, like, society has created that sort of intensity, like the intensity to look good for other people, especially like if you're into boys or into girls, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, it's, I don't know, I feel like it's just what it's like human nature. Like, you're always showing off in front of a girl or a guy, if you want, I guess, if you're like sort of like that sort of person, if you're that sort of person that does do that. And I think it's, like, always going to be and always has been a thing that humans do.
Yeah.
Like, always want to know that you're... I think my phone's about to die. Always know that you're going to, like, be in front of other people. So you always want to know that you look good. Otherwise, you're always going to be stressing about how you look good. You know what I mean? Like, when I go out, I literally change, like, 3 different fucking costumes.
Yeah.
Like... clothings, because I don't want to think about, I don't want to be in the moment thinking about, oh, do I look fat in this or something like that. which is not really my thoughts, but it's more like I don't want to be uncomfortable and I don't want to, like, I want to be confident in a way. Like, I guess that's a way to look to it, a way to look at it, is a confidence thing.
Yeah.
But that just depends on, because I know there are people out there that do just dress for the male gaze or the female gaze, if you know what I mean. I don't know. I don't really know how to answer it because it's such like a, I feel like it's just true and it just, you can't really actually
I get that.
Pick it apart and be like, oh, this is why.
Well, I guess it also comes back to we want to sort of fit in.
Yeah. Oh, true, yeah.
You know, like when we go out to, like when we go out, for example, we go out to an event or a function. And I know I've been in the same place. I've been like, oh, so what's everyone wearing?
Yeah.
What do you wear to that?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to be going to it.
You don't overdress?
Yeah.
Or you don't want to underdress? So I guess it can, you can sort of link it to that. But
yeah,
yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. That's probably something that I've never kind of understood. Hold up. Sorry, back to your point. To your point about, to your question earlier, sorry, about best memory in Brisbane. And I couldn't remember it. There's a saying by the, oh, there's a song by the Wombats called Turn, and they released it end of 2018 or in 2018, from memory. And they have a lyric in it that says, the best memories are the ones that we forget.
Yeah.
So my best memory, I could have potentially forgotten.
True,
right?
Yeah.
But what I will say as to my best memory, what I will say is it's probably something very simple, like, because I'm a sucker for a view, I'm a sucker for a sunset, I'm a sucker for a sunrise. Mm-hmm. So I reckon I'm going to go, honestly, probably sitting at the Bavarian. I remember we went for dinner there one night with some friends, and sitting at the Bavarian, the place was packed, so it was absolutely buzzing. Well, I've been there a couple times. Yeah, but the place is packed, absolutely buzzing. One time I was there, the whole, well, majority of the St. George Illawarra Dragons squad walked through. And it was funny because I'm just sitting there and I was actually with a Dragons fan. And it's just like, oh, holy shit. Look, is it weird if we ask for a photo? But no, sitting there because it obviously has a sick view of the city. Oh, not of the city, but of the Story Bridge and whatnot. It's such a, like, it goes, like, you know, if you go there at a good time, it can be, you know, you can have a really nice night. So that's probably my favorite memory, something simple like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, sorry, continue with your podcast, continue with your questions.
What was the question? I can't remember. We're just going to move on from girls because that's just something. Well, actually, no, we're not. But what has been the most embarrassing story you've ever had in relation to a chick?
Most embarrassing story. I'm sure they could tell you a few. look, I don't know. Have I ever really been embarrassed? I wouldn't say so. And the reason I haven't been embarrassed is because I've never really put myself out there to be embarrassed, if that makes sense. So I've never kind of, done anything where anyone really cringe, if that makes sense, purely because I just haven't.
We went to the
Plough Inn. Oh, yeah.
In South Bank.
Do you want me to tell it or?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're at the Plough Inn and it's amazing what a few beers do. Yeah. And you're sitting there and, like, to, you know, I don't feel bad at all, but I feel like, you know, you probably could have picked someone better. But there was this female there and Maria goes, oh, Josh, I'll give you $50 if you go ask for a number. So I was like, okay, fair enough. $50, that's all right. Well, I didn't let you in the end, but I went over to her and asked for a number and she's like, no, sorry, I'm not going to give that. I was like, that's all right. And she goes, oh, but maybe I can give you my Instagram. I was like, yeah, all right. So she gave me her Instagram and I followed it, but it was blocked, like it was a private one, and she followed me. But then, like, a few days later, I think you asked about it and I was like, oh, I'll go find out. And she never actually accepted me. So she just ended up following me. I never got to follow her. It wasn't love at first sight. I can't even remember, which is bad. This actually, yeah, no, it wasn't Millie. But yeah, I can't really say I have very embarrassing. I guess the thing is, most people know everything really, because when you grow up in a small town, you know, it's just what it is, what it is. But yeah, no, nothing too embarrassing. But like I said, if you ask them, they've probably got a few stories. Sorry, I didn't give you anything juicy there that you probably would have liked.
That's okay. What stories did you
want? What stories? Are you asking, do I have any stories?
Yeah.
There's a few. I mean, there's some, like, really cool life lesson ones, I guess. Like, some of them have to do with boxing. There's a boxing story. There's a few boxing stories. But one of the main boxing stories that I kind of got was... There's a story between two fighters. I can't remember their names, which kind of, you know, it always eludes me. And it really frustrates me because it would really help the story. But I can't remember their names. There's these two fighters and they were fighting one another. They were going hell for leather, just putting holes in one another. Like, they were just going nuts. And crowd was into it. It was years, like decades ago, like old time boxing type stuff. Yeah. Anyway... They, back in the day, apparently, or I don't know if it was just for this fight, but the way the story got portrayed to me was they used to put like a sheet between the corners so each corner couldn't see each other between rounds. So what happened was they put this sheet in there, and it got to, you know, a round. And actually where I heard this story was from the Steve Carroll is his name, and he coaches the Seattle Seahawks, and he uses it with his team. I think Bill Belichick, who coaches the New England Patriots, I think he's also used this story before, and that's where I got it from. And I'll explain how they kind of used it. But the story goes that they were fighting hard. In it, then the end of the round came. They went to each corner. They went to their corners. And one fighter there was out of his feet, and he said, "Nah, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I'm going to quit. I'll throw in the towel. I want you to throw in the towel." And the trainer's like, "No, you can't throw in the towel. You know, there's only a couple rounds left. You know, you're doing okay. Just keep your hands up. You know, keep your distance. Yada yada yada. All the buzzwords, whatever you want to say." And he's like, "Nah, I'm done. Like, I need you to throw in the towel." Then they stopped talking, and it all went quiet, and they heard over to the other corner, his opponent was crying.
Oh my God.
They heard his opponent crying.
Yeah.
And he obviously drew a lot of motivation from that, because he knew he had him on the ropes.
Yeah.
And I don't know who went on to win or whatever, and you know, I can't remember the names, but the message behind that is it's kind of to do with sport, but it can be in life, in you know, whether you're competing for a job, for a promotion or something like that, is you are going, you're feeling it and you're going through it,
yeah,
but the other person is feeling it just as much or even more so. And the coaches in the NFL, how they use that story is when we're, you know, tired at going to the end of the third quarter, or coming, you know, to the end of the fourth quarter late in the game when the scores are tied and it's a dog fight and, you know, it's neck and neck. Yes, you're in pain. Yes, you're feeling it. But so is the opposition. The opposition's feeling it just as much, if not more.
Yeah.
So don't think you're the only one in this boat and that's a disadvantage to you. Everyone on that field is feeling it. You know, that's just natural. That's just normal. Like, get on with it type stuff. So that's the message they portray. Another story involves Ali and Frazier, and I think it was a Thrill in Manila, the fight. It's called the Thrill in Manila. One of the most famous boxing fights in the world, in history of time. But they were fighting. It was Frazier, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, they were fighting, and you know, it was a massive fight, yada, 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 and they were just about going, you know, probably level at that stage. Anyway, I think this is back in the day when they used to have, my facts could be off here. I could get some you know, details wrong, but I think it was, I think they used to go like 16 rounds or something back in the day, or even 14. Like, I think now, like now you go 12, but I think back then they went a few more. Anyway, let's just say, for argument's sake, for the purpose of the story, they went, it was the 15th round, and they were, you know, going at one another, and they went to each, they went to, again, they, the end of the round finished, they went to each corner, and Ali was sitting there, and he was just, you know, he's like, I don't know if I, like, I can't keep going, I can't keep going. And the trainer's like, you can, like, you know, we've only got one round, you're a champion, you're the best in the world, like, this is your, yeah, this is your cup of tea. Yeah. Frazier, on the other hand, he said, he was in his corner, and he had a massive, like, his eye was swollen, he couldn't see out of both of his eyes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was both of his eyes, couldn't see out of both of his eyes. And the trainer's like, we got to stop the fight. Like, this is not safe for you. And he's like, do not effing stop the fight. I want to rip his heart out. That's what he said to his trainer. And the trainer's like, okay. So, anyway, so, but this is how intense that rivalry got. And he said, don't stop the fight. I want to rip his heart out. And Ali was, on the other hand, he didn't ask, but he kind of alluded to, I'm almost done. I'm almost empty. Like, yeah, you know, this last round or whatever is going to be tough. Anyway, they went and fought, and Ali ended up winning. Yeah. But it's crazy how, I guess, what you can draw from that is, you know, you got one boxer who wasn't, you know, he was going to stop at nothing to get the job done, and the other who was almost done. But yeah, the old saying, you know, form's temporary, class is permanent, and I guess Muhammad Ali rose the occasion on that specific time. But yeah, it, there's, you know, I guess, like, it's cool, like, you hear, like, there's a lot of stories, like, with David Goggins, the ex-army or ex-special ops soldier who turned into, like, a marathon runner, and his stories are, when he retired, he did ultra marathons, and they are 100 kilometers, 100k, but they're not just running on, it's not right, like road running, it's through terrain and steep terrain over in the States where the temperatures just rise and crazy things like that. If you, there is a book, if you ever want to read, if there's ever a good book you want to read, it's called Can't Hurt Me, I believe, and it's by David Goggins. It's just David Goggins' book. Yeah. But also with him, he did, so you've got, when you do to join the Navy, the SEALs, you do Hell Week, and which is one of the, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard of Hell Week, it's just off the charts. But he did Hell Week once, failed because of injury, did Hell Week a second time, failed because of injury, and you can't do Hell Week more, once you can have three cracks, if you fail the third time, you can never become a Navy SEAL, which is like arguably the highest honor in America. In a way, well, you know. So he got to his third week, and he got to his third week, and there was about probably 3 days left, 4 days left in the week. But what he had done was he had broken majority of bones in his foot, in both his feet, and he had, I think he had fractures in his leg. So he was done, and he said 72 hours plus to go in Hell Week, where you don't sleep, you hardly eat, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, he would rock up. So he would get to the barracks or whatever at about 3 a.m. or whatever, or before their day would start or whatever, and he would tape up his feet and legs with duct tape just to keep, because his foot was shattered, just to keep some sort of, you know, mold, or just to keep some sort of support, and he went on and finished Hell Week. And like, you think about that, like, you, if anyone's ever been in that kind of pain, they know what it's like, but if you haven't, it's hard to comprehend. But he talked in his books, especially, he talks about like the mentality and mindset and how the mind, you know, really does control the body, and how most people, like, to become successful in life, you got to go down the path with most resistance. So everyone usually sits there and go, option A, option B. I will go option B because it's easier.
Yeah.
But he thinks the opposite. Go down the challenge yourself to the absolute max and see what you can pull from yourself. Like he's crazy. I don't want to give too much away. If you go read the book, whatever, if you go listen to his story, like there's heaps of YouTube clips on him and stuff. But he weighed 250 plus pounds. He was working at this job. He was like a bug sprayer, killer, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
For houses and shops and factories and things like that. He would work, you know, 8 hours. He would, when he knocked off his shift, he would drink, he would go grab, you know, a meal from Macca's every day or whatever, or grab a thick shake, and he did nothing with his life. He was going nowhere. And then one day he was at home and he was in the shower or something, and he heard on the TV, you know, an ad for the Navy SEALs. He's like, I'm going to go do that.
Yeah.
And he was, at the time, was going nowhere. He was broke as all could be. He was overweight, obese, killing himself, really.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to, he went to the officer. He said, how do I become a Navy SEAL? And the officer just basically laughed at him and said, you'll never be one, son. Yeah. And then he went and, you know, studied to get into, like, because he didn't have any education. Like, he had a really messed up family. And growing up, he had a really weird childhood. So he had no education. So he went and trained himself and studied himself and taught himself to pass the test just to be even thought about entering as a Navy SEAL. Then he had to do all the physical, so he lost all this weight. He lost all this weight like that. He couldn't swim. He had to teach himself how to swim. He was going to become a Navy SEAL. He had to teach himself how to swim at the age of whatever he was.
Yeah.
And then he went through all these crazy things and eventually did it. And it's an amazing story. And if,
that's
you
insane.
Know, yeah. So if there's ever a book, it's called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. But even if you just, you know, Goldcast or whatever, there's some, you know, pretty cool channels out there that, you know, track, you know, successful people's lives and stuff, and it's all sort of motivational and stuff. But it's actually, yeah, he's one of those people that just are crazy. Like his belief is you must do something every day you must do something you don't want to do. And there's a story where he was staying with this, I believe it was a comedian, and the comedian said, I just want to like get in your world. Like, I just want you to come stay with me for a month and I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. Just how you live your life, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the comedian, when he was telling the story, said by 2 weeks he wanted to kick him out.
Yeah.
But what happened was there's a story, he says, it was the middle of winter, and wherever they were staying, you know, it was crazy. And Goggins woke him up at 2 a.m., right? So they were asleep, just mind their own business. He woke him up at 2 a.m., and he pulled him out of bed, and he said, oh, come with me. And so, he has to live his life like Goggins. And Goggins wasn't doing this just to, you know, show off. This is how he does, like, this is how he operates. Got him. They went down to this creek or pond or whatever that was frozen over. And he put a hole in it and he said, jump in. It's 2:30 a.m. in the middle of winter in America. Negative who knows what. It's snowing all the rest of it. He said, jump in. He's like, why? He's like, because you'll never do this. This is not what you want to do. He's like, of course I want to still be in bed. It's like, jump in. So he jumps in, and he reckons, and the comedian said, once the month finished, or however long he spent with him, once that finished, he said, yeah, that sounds crazy. And that is crazy. That's almost over the top. He said, and what am I going to get from that? Like, I'm never going to become a Navy SEAL. I'm never going to do all that. That's not my aspirations. I'm never going to get anything from that. But he said, I learn a lot, and it comes back to self-discipline and sacrifice and pushing your body to the absolute max, to the absolute limit. And realizing how much potential you have in there. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us, including myself, we haven't experienced that, and we've never done that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We've never understood how far we can really, truly go. And he said, you know, I'm never going to, like, all this stuff he does, I'm never going to get anywhere with, like, it's never going to take me anywhere. But what it does do, well, it'll take me everywhere, not in the physical aspect, but in the mental aspect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as I said, if there's ever a book you got to read.
That's a good one.
Definitely that one.
Fuck, so, that's actually insane. I could not.
It gives you a lot of motivation. Like, yeah. And it's actually really cool because at the end of each chapter, he gives you a challenge to do. a challenge to, you know, better your life and improve your life. And
yeah,
some of one of the challenges, for example, was to every morning, like he says, a lot of us lie to ourselves. Like a lot of us look in the mirror and we go, oh, you know, we're okay, we're not this, we're not that, we're not that bad here, we're not that bad there. He's like, don't do that. Like, look yourself, and like one of the challenges, look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself everything that's wrong with you. What is so jacked up with you? Tell it to the mirror. Say to the mirror when you're looking at yourself, everything that's wrong with you. I'm too this. Oh, I'm anxious. I'm always late to places.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not confident. I'm overweight. You know, I'm insecure about my whatever, my reading ability.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we do lie to ourselves. We sort of cotton wool and protect ourselves. But his belief is tell yourself the truth and just rip the Band-Aid off. Go down the path with most resistance, and you'll thank yourself for it in the long run. So, yeah, I know it was a bit of a tangent, but
no, that was good.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, it's like 1 hour and 10 minutes.
That's all right.
Do we
want
to wrap it up again?
If you want, if you haven't, you're hungry. Do you have any more questions?
No. Actually, let's end it on this one. Who's your celebrity crush?
I've got many. I think as you grow older and you get, you know, you grow into, like, you see different movies and stuff, and a lot of celebrity crushes, I guess, are movie characters. Yeah. And it's funny, like, there's, you look at Hollywood, for example, and you look at two stars that work on a movie end up marrying each other. Do they fall in love with the person or the character? Do you know what I mean? And you look at a lot of relationships in the history of over in LA,
yeah.
and movie stars who headline massive movies end up, you know, pursuing a relationship off screen,
yeah.
And it just never worked out, and you know, because of one reason or another. I will go like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Kate Hudson.
Oh,
okay. Kate Hudson. But in general, I don't know. I haven't really got one. I'll probably stick with Kate Hudson. Yeah, 100%.
Margot Robbie.
Look, actually, now you mentioned Margot Robbie, yeah, she's probably, yeah, she definitely Margot. Yeah. Okay, Margot Robbie in general, but out of a particular movie, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Kate Hudson. Okay. Kate Hudson, How Is It Going 10 Days, but Margot Robbie in general.
Sweet.
So.
Yeah, mine would probably be Margot Robbie.
Oh, really?
Honestly, yeah.
Not a male?
I don't really have, like, a celebrity.
Fair.
Maybe Ian
Somerhalder. Don't know who he is.
Damon Salvatore from Vampire Diaries.
I haven't seen Vampire Diaries. Although what I will say, hang on, before we end, if there was one male, I could not could be, but someone who just has it, mm-hmm. I reckon DiCaprio. Yeah, and what I'll say is, you look at the movie. I was actually just the other day, I don't know why, I was just looking at it, but the movies he's been in, like he starred in Titanic, Wolf of Wall Street. The other ones are eluding me at the minute, but there's a handful of them where you just go, they are genuine blockbusters, like genuine, you know, movies that will set, you know, that'll be thought of in decades and rated so highly. And he, you know, headlined all of them, and glad he got his Oscar in the end, which was a couple of years ago now. But yeah, so DiCaprio is probably, and he's a bit good looking, isn't he? Yeah. Just a bit. Not anymore, you don't reckon? Yeah. The hair?
I don't know. He's just getting older, so it's just like less appealing, isn't it?
Oh.
Don't you reckon?
Well, I don't know. Well, you look at Mark Rudd. Mark Rudd the other day got named the sexiest guy on He's in Friends. He's in a number of movies.
Who the fuck is Mark Rudd? In Friends.
Oh, sorry, not Mark Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Who's in Friends?
He's Phoebe's boyfriend. Paul Rudd, Mike is his character's name. But yeah, Paul Rudd, he got named sexiest guy alive or something by Forbes or whatever it was. I don't know who it was. And he would be, 40s, 50s type stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, you're saying age, but I'm just saying.
Oh, well, I'm saying he looks like he's getting older.
We'll agree to disagree, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. All right, we're going to end it here. That's all we have time for. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Joshua.
Thank you very much for your time, and yeah, much love out there.